This is Jay Sekulow. The Attorney General of the United States says we beat terrorism with love.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, to unity, and it's love.
Do we fly in Libya?
The answer is yes, if there is a target that is an imminent threat to the United States.
Okay, is ISIL an imminent threat to the United States?
Yes.
Is ISIL in Libya?
Yes.
How many sorties have we flown in Libya?
To my knowledge, none at this time.
That makes no sense then, does it?
It does not.
The bottom line is what we have to do to defeat Islamic terror is actually destroy them. We have to defeat ISIS. We have to hunt down Islamic terrorists wherever they have found safe haven on the planet. And we have to defeat them. It's going to take a long-term effort. It's going to take a commitment by the civilized world.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There's no magic to the phrase radical Islam. It's a political talking point. It's not a strategy. And the reason I am careful about how I describe this threat has nothing to do with political correctness and everything to do with actually defeating extremism.
Radical Islamic terror. People still feel he doesn't say that because he's afraid of dealing with this problem, that he lacks a fundamental toughness about calling it what it is. He didn't move the needle on that, Josh, and people even looking at Orlando and say, well, this is a reflection of that weakness as well. Fair?
No, Chris, it's outrageous, actually. Using the term radical Islamic extremism is not a counterterrorism strategy. It is a political talking point, plain and simple.
In the aftermath of what the president said earlier in the week, what difference would it make if he used the phrase radical Islamic terrorism or extremism?
This is something that I've disagreed with the president on because I think it's important that you identify your enemy, you know who they are, you call them by their name, and you understand the ideology that's driving them.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, folks, and that starts with the Attorney General of the United States, who goes to Orlando during a vigil and makes the following statement, saying that we defeat this evil with our humanity, which transcends our differences, and our most effective response to terror is compassion, it's unity, and it's love. I'm not kidding you. This is what the Attorney General of the United States has said. Let me play it for you.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
This is absurd. Positively absurd. Coming from our chief law enforcement officer, the Attorney General of the United States, who's responsible for issues involving terrorism. And Jordan, and I'll go to Jordan Than quickly here, the nature of this statement that it's love is what you need, quoting the 1968 Beatles song, is absurd. But I mean, well, you know, the Beatles song's a song. It's not a method upon which you eradicate terrorism.
Well, it's like a war protest. And in fact, what we need is a war. I mean, you know, it's just living in this other reality, rose-colored glasses, to say the least. But honestly, what I see it is the throwback. We talk about that this is an administration that was educated at these very high levels in a radical time period, and now they're taking that radical ideology that they learned in college in their Ivy League schools in the 60s and 70s and applying it to our foreign policy or our national defense or our security when it comes to the Department of Justice, our law enforcement. And that love will win out the day. And we know that's just not the case when you're dealing with terrorists. They are not even like a normal army that you can ultimately reconcile with.
Right.
They are a force that is willing to die for what they believe in. They want to bring about that ultimate death for all of them if they cannot be victorious on the battlefield.
Let me encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your calls on this absurd statement, your position. We want to know what you think about this reaction from the Attorney General of the United States. All you need is love. 1-800-684-3110. And then the new head of African Command for U.S. Forces. He's got some strong words, and he's the Obama nominee for this. You're going to want to stay tuned. We've got a lot ahead. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. By the way, new petition up right now, which is an important one. It is our five-step plan, which we're going to talk to with them. We come back from the break. We want to get that implemented in Congress to defeat ISIS and Islamic jihadists. We'll be back with more in a moment.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So tragic, it'd be funny, but it's tragic. And the philosophy of the Attorney General on dealing with terrorism is, to quote the Beatles, all you need is love. Except that's not a terrorism philosophy. That was a song in the 1960s. So this nature of this is reached the level of absurdity. And first of all, nobody in America is buying this. No one is buying that this is you can love them into stop killing us. Because that's what we're talking about here. That is not the way this works. We're going to go right to our phones. Before we go to the phones, though, let me go to Than Bennett. There's also a story that is out right now. U.S. Africa commander nominee is a major lieutenant general. He was asked, is there a grand strategy in combating ISIS? He says there's not. He said, is ISIS a threat in Libya? He was asked a question by Lindsey Graham. He said, yes. Are we taking action in Libya? He says no. I want to play for you this interchange between Senator Graham and, or you want to start with McCain? Let's start with John McCain first. Folks, I'm putting this in the context of this is because it ties into the Orlando situation. It's the lack of a strategy here. Let's play the Senator McCain language.
Do we have a strategy for Libya, or are we just acting in an ad hoc fashion, which has been the case as we've watched ISIS establish, metastasize, and grow in Libya?
Well, as you indicated, the two strategic objectives that we do have for Libya is to assist the
I know the objectives. Do we have a strategy?
To continue to support that right at this point in time. I am not aware of any overall grand strategy at this point.
Pretty shocking. No overall grand strategy. Now, this is going on in Washington right now, Than. Reaction on the Hill.
Jay, this is the nominee to lead the president's plan to eliminate ISIS in where? Africa. Where is Libya? Africa. And he testifies to the Senate that the president doesn't have any plan or any strategy that he is aware of to accomplish that. So let me ask this question. If the Senate confirms this individual to lead the president's strategy to eradicate ISIS in Africa, how is he going to go about that if he does not know what the strategy is? Jay, last week we heard from Director Comey, right. Director Brennan, and those 51 State Department employees. Even the people that the president is nominating this week to lead this strategy don't know what the strategy is.
And Jordan, this points to the fundamental failure. It's Loretta Lynch in Orlando saying we need love and compassion to beat the terrorists. It's the nominee for AFCOM, which is the African Command of the U.S. military in Africa, acknowledging that there is no overall strategy. This is the president's nominee. This is very, very troubling.
Yeah, it's this kind of like love your enemy approach and missing the point of that you still don't stop fighting your enemy and you still don't have to defeat your enemy. And that means, of course, as Christians, you know, we pray that this situation is resolved, but we also deal with reality. And as many of us were blessed to be born in the United States of America, a country that has the ability to do something about this when we either face these attacks at home
yep.
or abroad when there is war waging and it is impacting our interests. It's getting to the level of genocide. We can do something about it. We are born into a country where we have direct representation from our leaders in the Congress. We elect our president of the United States, and we can demand more. And fortunately, and I say this honestly, fortunately, we've got a presidential election coming up where we can yep. see a significant change, hopefully very soon.
All right. We've got an opposing call coming in from Angel in Brooklyn, New York, on line two. We're going to go right to it. Angel, you're on the air.
All right, how you doing, guys? I'm sorry, but I oppose with the idea. I agree with the Attorney General.
Well, what idea with the Attorney General do you agree with? What is the idea you agree with?
Well, with going with peace instead of war, an eye for an eye. You know, there's something has to be done, but we can't keep sending the young children over there and people keep dying.
Do you think you don't really agree with her that you win this war with radical jihadists by love, do you?
Even if we get rid of them, before ISIS...
Well, hold it. You know, Angel, I just asked my question, and then I'll let you talk. Do you really believe that we can defeat them by love? Because you also said an eye for an eye. By the way, that's right out of the scriptures. An eye for an eye is part of it. But, you know, love's in the scriptures, too. And I understand the proclamation of the gospel. I completely agree with all that into the entire world. But do you think we beat radical jihadists by loving them rather than fighting them?
I don't think so. I know so for a fact.
You know so. And tell me the fact that you know, because I don't understand that fact. Educate me. I'm all ears.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a special spiritual thing that you got to feel.
Well, it's a special spiritual thing that you have and nobody else does because, you know, you think that you're going to explain to me the special spiritual thing because I don't really understand it.
Open your heart and open your mind.
So, hold it. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of mankind, but I don't think that means we don't defend ourselves and attack an enemy that is attacking us. And you're saying it's a special spiritual thing that if you love them, they'll stop doing this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think
the conversation is now over. Thank you for listening. I will put you with Loretta Lynch in the land, Jordan, of the absurd.
Yeah, and the whole eye for an eye analogy is incorrect here. We're talking about we need to totally defeat a group. We're not talking about a tit for tat situation.
Right.
We're talking about going in and destroying ISIS, which needs to be done to protect our country, to protect our Christian brothers and sisters around the world who are facing their threats, and to restore some stability to what has always been a difficult region in the world, but is right now raging in war, and it's becoming increasingly international, which becomes a threat to even more countries, more people who want to be able to go about their daily life. The fact is that in these situations, you could say love your enemy, but you still have to defeat your enemy. It is not talking about an eye for an eye. This is not a justice situation in a personal matter.
Right.
We're talking about in a criminal matter either. This is about fully defeating and destroying an enemy. And that is still in line with our biblical values,
yep.
with our American values. It sometimes has to be done. We don't like it. We don't want to have to do it. But sometimes people bring the war to us and we have to respond.
You know, it's interesting. There's a comment by Rebecca on Facebook. I'm monitoring right now. It says, as the scriptures say, there is a time for war and a time for peace, but there's also that time for war. And I think this whole idea of what they're doing is ridiculous. Darlene on Facebook says there's no love in these people. All they understand is the evil that's part of them. They don't want love. And that's, by the way, that's what you're dealing with. I mean, if you're the Messiah, you could change it. We're not. So let's go ahead and take a phone call. Roger's calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hi, Roger.
Hi. I just have a statement to make.
Sure.
Our goody two-shoe president is not living in the real world, and this isn't the time for love.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is the president is just nominated for the AFCOM commander, Tham. Let's go back over this. Someone that is acknowledging. Do we have the Lindsey Graham comments? Let me play this as Senator Graham talking to him.
Fly in Libya?
The answer is yes, if there is a target that is an imminent threat to the United States.
Okay. Is ISIL an imminent threat to the United States?
Yes.
Is ISIL in Libya?
Yes.
How many sorties have we flown in Libya?
To my knowledge, none at this time.
That makes no sense, then, does it?
It does not.
This is the nominee for the president for AFCOM. Fan?
Yeah, and he doesn't know what the president's strategy is. And he doesn't know what the president's strategy is, Jay, after acknowledging, well, right, but after acknowledging that the threat in Libya is indeed imminent. Listen, to go back to the last caller's point, I am all about the goal of spreading the love of Christ around the world. But it is the sacred duty of the American commander-in-chief to defend its citizens. Yep. And his nominee to lead this effort in Africa has just testified that there is an imminent threat to the citizens. And yet this president's strategy, Jay, and these are the direct words from the White House, is to squeeze ISIS, to squeeze them, not to crush them, but to squeeze them. It's time for a professional commander-in-chief, and we don't have one at this point.
We got five more months of this. Here's what he said. This lieutenant general said, I'm not aware of any overall strategy at this point. I mean, a pretty shocking statement. I'm going to grab another call here before the break. Sue, very quickly, you're on the air, line three. Hey, Sue.
Hi. Yes, can you hear me?
We can. You're great. You're on the air.
I just wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
I have seen this situation escalate, and this is the time to strike. We have an army that is moving by land vehicle with rubber tires, and I think that this is the time when they are going to be vulnerable, and we need to strike. It is sad, but it has to be done.
And nobody wants war. I mean, I think that's the point of what we're saying here is this is not a situation in Jordan where we want war. It's just they've declared war on us, and they're executing that war in the United States. San Bernardino, Fort Hood, Orlando, Boston.
Right.
We can't ignore it.
No, we can't ignore it. It's been brought to our doorstep for a number of years now, and the threat is increasing. And it don't just take my word for it. Take the CIA director's word for it. John Brennan last week in his testimony, the threat posed by specifically ISIS, not just generically radical Islam, but this group, the Islamic State, is growing internationally. We're not just talking about the battlefield here and there with the reports we get out of the Pentagon. We're talking about their international terror efforts. They are expanding under the president's strategy.
We are going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 800-684-3110. Don't forget, sign our petition now, which includes our five-point plan, which is declare war on ISIS. Go to ACLJ.org for that. Over 20,000 people have already gone there. ACLJ.org. Also, make sure you're responding to our email that is out today. We've got an important one about jihad and the eradication of Christianity in the Middle East that is taking place. We are fighting it at the UN and other places. We need your help. ACLJ.org to sign on to these petitions. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
So let me play the sound from the lieutenant general who's being nominated for African Command, where he says there's no strategy. I want to play that for you right now.
Do we have a strategy for Libya, or are we just acting in an ad hoc fashion, which has been the case as we've watched ISIS establish, metastasize, and grow in Libya?
Well, as you indicated, the two strategic objectives that we do have for Libya is to assist the
I know the objectives. Do we have a strategy?
To continue to support that right at this point in time. I am not aware of any overall grand strategy at this point.
Okay, so there's the guy that's been nominated to run it for Libya or Africa to get rid of ISIS. No grand strategy at all. Josh Earnest, president spokesperson, different view. Listen to number two.
What the president of the United States has done has put forward a comprehensive strategy to squeeze the Islamic State in Iraq and in Syria, to inhibit their ability to recruit and radicalize people around the globe.
Maybe he should share that with the nominee for the African Command, because he certainly hasn't gotten that same message. And this is problematic. It's nothing against the general, by the way. I think he's being honest, as is John Brennan, as is Jim Comey. But you understand that the nominee that the president's putting forward has a completely different view of this than the president of the United States and his administration. And Jordan, that points to a fundamental problem within this last 5 months of this administration.
Yeah, it's that there's no clear strategy to defeat ISIS wherever they are. So it depend, you know, get outside of Syria and Iraq where we have an air campaign. We know from the testimony last week that one place that ISIS is expanding significantly is in North Africa, Libya specifically. And you have the new AFRICOM a commander put forward by President Obama, and there's nothing going on. And there's literally nothing going on, which means not only is there not a strategy, there's not even an attempt to push back against ISIS. Yeah. And we know that these terror groups, especially when they start expanding outside of their regions where they've been engaged in their direct conflict, like ISIS has in Syria and Iraq, when they start looking for places to operate from. Remember, Damascus used to be a main operation hub until this war for a group like Hezbollah. It was a better place for them to be. It was tougher for Israelis to get to them, obviously, because the conflict that could ensue there. They had the Iranian, more direct Iranian and Assad protection. Right. So they would operate out of these cities like Damascus. Well, now Libya, typical situation. You know, it's been kind of a muddled mess post-Gaddafi. And so it's a safer place to be if you are trying to plan the international attacks. The guys who are in the ISIS fighters in Syria and Iraq are dealing daily with out on battlefield, you know, issues and air campaigns. But in Libya, as we now know, they're not dealing with anything like that. They just have to deal with what they're very good at, just the internal problems going on in Libya. And basically, hey, they're the ones that have the guns, so that they're pretty safe there right now.
E. Wall on Periscope says, we couldn't have won World War II if we had simply hugged the Nazis or the Empire of Japan. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. We also have a situation, though, Than, right now, where the nominee's being honest. The administration is a different position, but this is the administration's nominee, and this points to a fundamental governance problem.
Well, I like the way the general put it. He said that there was an objective but no strategy to carry it out, and where have we seen that before, Jay? The objective to contain ISIS, but oh, by the way, then they spread to Paris, then they spread to San Bernardino, then they spread to Orlando. The containment strategy has failed. So what does this administration do? They don't change the objective or the strategy, Jay. They just change the word. Now we're not trying to contain ISIS. We're trying to squeeze them, and we're trying to love them out of existence. Jay, it's just not going to work.
Well, we could love them. If we love them, maybe they'll love us back. Sure. And that's the theory, which Daryl from Greenville, South Carolina, tends to agree with the attorney general, I guess, and disagrees with me. That's a free country. Daryl, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's just a narrow approach to say that we're going to love them with open arms. But love also requires resiliency, commitment, and the resolve to carry out those goals. And, you know, you may not agree with the president, but I think, you know, applying sanctions, continuing to apply those sanctions against those states that support ISIS, and along with introducing the forces in the area of operations that for their effective. That, so that's what he's doing. Now,
well,
if you
hold it. I mean,
I'm
not going to give you a free pass, and Daryl, I appreciate you calling. I'm not giving you a free pass on the sanctions issue because the president just lifted the sanctions on the largest state sponsor of terror in the world, and that is the Islamic Republic of Iran. So
I agree, but that was in accord with the negotiations for just the recent arms deal.
That recent arms deal, I mean, you've got the Iranians, the Russians, and the Syrians in cahoots. This does not bode well for the region. It does not bode well for Israel, and it certainly doesn't bode well for the United States. So, I mean, I just don't understand. I think it's where you and I have a disagreement. It's a free country. We can disagree. This policy is absurd. And the Attorney General of the United States going down to Orlando and saying, in the light of that terror attack, we could win this by humility and love. I'm playing it again. I want everybody here. I like laying out evidence. This is her own words. Tell me if you agree, Daryl, once you hear them.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
Our most effective response to terror is compassion, unity, and love. Daryl, do you believe that?
I believe that we uphold the ideals.
That's not the question. Do you believe our most effective combating of terrorism is compassion, unity, and love? Do you believe that is a correct statement?
No, not in that context. No, I don't.
And that's where Daryl, that's where I think I understand the heartfelt nature of what she's trying to say, but those statements only encourage our enemies because it shows fundamental weakness. And Jordan, that's one thing we should not be projecting right now, which unfortunately we are.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about these past conflicts that the U.S. has been engaged in on a large scale, obviously, ultimately, you do want to reconcile. So that's where that love and compassion, I think, is unique even to our country and because of our Judeo-Christian values. That's why we have great relationships with Germany and Japan. It took time, but we have those now. That's an after the fact. That's after you defeat the threat. And on this threat, which is different than even those, these are not enlisted soldiers in the sense that they're fighting for their country. These are people who are actively joining up, traveling from around the world to engage in this battle, and they do not mind being killed. Their ultimate goal is suicide attacks, et cetera. So our number one way to defeat this, the best way to defeat this is to kill the enemy. It's just an unfortunate reality that we are going to have to kill these individuals to defeat them. Love is not going to carry out the victory. Love is how you reconcile once this conflict is over with those individuals who can go back into a normal society, which is not easy in the Middle East, but it's certainly something we want to do ultimately. But that's after the conflict is over.
I want to find, coming back from the break, the statement by Canon Andrew White, who's worked in the region, where he said he could not meet with them because they would try to kill him. So, and this is a guy that is full of compassion and love. We'll play that when we come back from the break, because we're here for another 30 minutes, folks. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, many of the stations get it now. If you do not, of course, SiriusXM, you've got it. ACLJ.org, we're streaming it live, both audio and video, Periscope and Facebook as well, and a number of stations, so we encourage you to do that. There's multiple ways. Don't leave now. So if you're not getting the next 30 minutes of the broadcast, go to ACLJ.org, go to Facebook, go to Periscope. On Facebook, it's Jay Sekulo, at Jay Sekulo on Periscope. You'll see it live, actually streamed. You can get just the audio or the video as well, so all that's available. Also, I've got an email that's out about ISIS wanting to destroy, which we know, America, and eradicate Christianity in the region. Of course, they also want to attack the state of Israel and eliminate Jews. We're fighting it back in the courts and with a system of governmental measures we want taking place. We've got a petition up right now to get those 5 points across. Go to ACLJ.org to sign that. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. We have 5 key steps to defeat ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
We will fight for the right.
has aggravated that conservatives are using the term radical Islamic extremism or radical jihad. We've got the Attorney General of the United States saying that we win this by compassion, unity, and love. I'm not kidding you. She said this in Orlando. This is how she believes you fight terrorism. In fact, she thinks it's the best way to fight terrorism. I wish I could tell you I was making this up. I am not. This is the words of the Attorney General of the United States of America in light of Orlando. In Orlando, here's what she said.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
That is absurd. Absolutely, fundamentally absurd. Patrick's calling from Atlanta, Georgia, on line one. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Jay. Love your show.
Thanks.
How you doing today?
Good, sir.
Thanks. I just want to comment on Laura Lynch and that first caller about, you know, love defeating the terrorists.
Yeah.
Explain the Santa Bernardino shooting. They were their friends, their co-workers.
Right.
They admit were in their lives. I mean,
they gave
they
a, par- a baby shower for their child just weeks before this. Love did not
exactly.
work there. But
and
I think what Jordan said, Patrick, is the key. There is a role for love, and that is the reconciliation once the enemy is defeated. That's what we did in Germany. That's what we did when we had the fights against the Imperial armies of Japan. But you have to win the war first.
Yeah, what if Loretta Lynch's child was being beat up?
Well, I mean, yeah, the point is, I can give you 100 absurdities of what all this is, but Jordan, at the end of the day, this is their view. This is what's so scary. This is their view.
Yeah, this is their view. It's the 1960s radicalism that this administration's been criticized with before extensively, but here it is coming out into play into policy. Rhetoric is very important when you're fighting these battles. The language you use is important. And so when you have the Attorney General of the United States, as if we could all just go hug everybody at these mosques and love on them, that certainly these people like Omar Mateen won't exist, is absolutely absurd. But it's the radicalism of the 60s being applied to what we're the threats we're facing in 2016.
All right, let's go ahead and go right back to the phones. April's calling from Victorville, California. Hi, April.
Yes, hi.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing
today?
You're
on the air. Good.
Okay, yes. I wanted to make a comment, and I'm glad you're talking about this because something that I saw on Facebook, it was very startling to me because a friend of mine, which was nice, he posted a speech from the Israel Prime Minister. It was
yes.
a lovely speech, uniting people.
Yes.
Anyways, there was a comment on there that was quite disturbing. He said, there was a person that wrote, all people deserve respect, which I agree.
Yep.
Then he went on to say, deserve dignity? Yes, Prime Minister. But it sounds to me like you forgot to include members of ISIS. They are also human beings.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw that speech, by the way, April. I posted it to my personal Facebook page because it was, I think there was 30 million views on this speech by Benjamin Netanyahu. But unfortunately, ISIS, as Jordan said, we've talked about, they're not playing the rules by arm. They're not following the Geneva Convention. This is a jihadist terror group that is an army. This is a Islamic conquest mentality. And we have to address it as that. And when you're told, Than, that there is no strategy to defeat ISIS, and that's coming from the person you've nominated to be the Africa commander of your armed forces, and that's coming from the president, and his says there's no comprehensive strategy, that's problematic.
It just gives you no confidence. And listen, I think the American people are a very forgiving people. But I'll tell you what will change that. It's when your friends and neighbors are slaughtered. And just to reach back to the conversation you had with Jordan, there are people spreading love in this region, Jay, and they are the ones being targeted for extermination. So if love is going to have a chance to reconcile after this fact, there have to be some of those folks left to go back. At this point, they're being wiped out.
When you hear, when we come back from the break, what their response is on even targeting, how difficult it is for the military to engage. So this is not a knock on the general, by the way. This is a knock on the administration's policies. All right, we're going to be back with more, including your comments at 800-684-3110. Don't forget, though, folks, we've got a brand-new petition up. We've laid out a 5-point plan, one of which is declaration of war against ISIS. Let's be specific about that. We want you to sign on to that petition at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And don't forget, we got a petition out today dealing with that. If you're getting our emails, we encourage you to sign that at ACLJ.org. Or if you get the email, just sign it online. Back with more in a moment.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So we talked about the fact that the delegate or the nominee for the African command of the army is saying that there's no overall strategy. Ready for this? They can't even fight a weapon and deploy a weapon correctly because of the White House. Listen, number 51.
So the ungoverned spaces in Africa are likely places for ISIL to flee to if we dislodge them from the traditional Mideast?
They're very.
What are the rules of engagement in terms of targeting ISIL in Africa?
Senator, I believe the rules of engagement have to do with the presidential policy guidance.
Do you have authority as AFRICOM commander to go after ISIL targets in Africa on your own?
I do not.
Do you think that would be wise to have that authority?
It would be wise. It would certainly contribute to what we're trying to do inside Libya.
So no authority for the commander to go after a target. I mean, how do you conduct a war, Jordan, when you cannot go after the target?
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever. You can't conduct a war if you, one, don't even have the targets, have no activity ongoing, have no plan to target those specific, whether they are ISIS cells or the movement on the ground. I mean, you're starting from square one, and you don't even know if you're actually starting. I mean, What are you actually planning anything? What is the doctrine of this administration? We're getting to the final few months. It's been this attempt at somewhat appeasement and occasionally airstrikes. This is, I think, a problem people have with Democrats. It's not just to get political for presidential election purposes, but in the past, when you look through history, you'll see this a lot. You saw it from the Clinton years. These airstrikes every once in a while using our military forces and then not going that extra mile to get the job done.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Chris is calling from Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay, how you doing? I just want to thank you, first of all, for having one of the most intelligent shows on radio.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's reassuring to finally have someone who speaks common sense.
Thanks.
Secondly, you know, this is not unexpected, to be honest with you. We have a Muslim president, Barack Obama.
Well, I'm not going to call. I don't think that's fair. Go ahead with your comment. Let's not get personal to him on his religion or faith. He says he's a Christian. I'm not getting into that, but you were making a good point. Go ahead and make the point.
Well, my point is this. So, you know, based on Loretta Ranch's comments, like we should treat everyone with love and respect and the whole nine yards, well, we might as well just get rid of all our prisons. If you don't treat, you know, our enemies the same way, you might as well treat the common criminals the same way.
This is, again, this is why I think her whole statement is just completely and positively absurd. I don't think there's arguing about it. I think it's just wrong. All right, Tom's calling from New Jersey on line 5. Hi, Tom.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that the president and the attorney general are, again, just misquoting scripture and the idea there. that in Romans 13, whereto the government has been instituted to punish the wicked.
Yes, and to protect its citizens. So you're right, but and I don't even want, you don't even have to get into the theology of it, because what is going on here is a fundamental, ridiculous statement that you win the most effective. She didn't just say an effective strategy. She didn't just say this might be a strategy, or we need to love our enemies, because Jesus does say you love your enemies. But, you know, this is not, we're not talking about a theological enemy here. We're talking about a group that's trying to destroy us. So here's the word she actually said.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
Our most effective response to terror. You should not be the Attorney General of the United States if you actually think that is our most effective response to terror, compassion, unity, and love. Yeah, compassion, unity, love for the victims of terror, but not for the terrorist. So that's the nature of what we're dealing with. Billy's calling from Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Billy.
Hi. That's a misapplication. Love your neighbor, right. Love your enemy. It's an individual application, not a national application.
Well, I think you're right, and I think it's important, Jordan, restate what you said about where the love element, so to speak, the reconciliation element comes into this, and this is just geopolitical international law as well. I mean, this isn't unusual there. This is the, it was Winston Churchill famously said, unsuccessful interventions in another government's affairs is not a good idea, and when you do have an intervention that is successful in rooting out that evil of the other government, you have to then work on the rebuilding and reconciliation.
Yeah, the reconciliation is key, and we've seen successes in that before. With terrorism, it's somewhat different, but I think we're the best places to point to are these massive world wars where we've able to reconcile, and in Europe is in Western Europe relatively peaceful, and Germany having this incredible economy, working with the entire world, working with all of its European neighbors, many of which it attempted to conquer 60-70 years ago in a very violent war, and everything is working there. In Japan, another great example, where not just the U.S. but most of the world has good relationships with these countries, because that's where that love, compassion, and the idea that has changed since the beginning of time, and I'd say like the Roman Empire time, where you go in to conquer. That's not love and compassion. What we do is go into conflicts to end the conflicts, to end the bloodshed, to end the wrong, and then ultimately you want to support those that are good. Now, the Middle East has become very difficult, I'd say, to keep that love going because of the ideology and the terror threat. But let me point that to directly with the problem of this administration failing to label who that enemy is.
Exactly.
Because it's, you say, love your enemies and all of this, but if you understand that your enemy is bound to kill you and will die for it, that's different than even an enlisted Nazi soldier who ultimately wants to return home to their family. That's not the case here when you're dealing with Islamic terrorism.
So, Than, let me ask you this, because this is making a lot of news, and we're talking about it. The no grand strategy coming out of the U.S. general who's being proposed to be the head of African Command for the American soldiers, for our units and for our international partners. And this is nothing against him. I think he was being honest. We've heard the reaction from Lindsey Graham. We've heard the reaction for Senator McCain. What happens here?
I think there's two reactions. Number one, I'm not sure the president is going to be given any confirmations for these types of posts. Why would you need to give him generals for leadership if there's no strategy for which they could carry out? It just jeopardizes their career. But secondly, Jay, I think you're going to start to hear significant pushback on the accusation that this administration is not actually conducting a war. It, by their own admission, it appears that they're not conducting a war, that they're engaged in appeasement. So the proper response there, again, it's for the Congress to exercise their authority, not the president's authority, their authority to formally declare war on ISIS. They cannot carry it out, but they can step in, they can declare the war, and then push the president to fulfill his constitutional duty.
All right, we're going right back to the phones. Eric's calling from Vancouver, Washington. Eric, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay.
Yes,
sir. Here's a simple point. We can love them. However, the only language that they will hear is their love is if we convert to Islam.
Right.
They're jihadist. Their mandate is to kill the infidel. We are the infidel.
Right.
It's about defense.
Doesn't mean you can't, like you said, doesn't mean you can't love them. Doesn't mean you can't pray for their salvation. We should do that. Look, that's the greatest thing we should do. But the fact of the matter is we've got to name the enemy, which this president doesn't want to do. We have to have a strategy, which this president doesn't have. We cannot defeat ISIS or other jihadist groups with love. We defeat them with military and strategy, and we have to have that. And if we don't have that, we pay the consequence and we pay the price. Let me go to Danny's calling on line one from Seattle, Washington. Hi.
Well, hi, Jay. Hey. I just want to say it doesn't have to be about love or hate or anything. My uncle who fought in World War II did not hate the Germans.
Right.
But he had to defend America. If somebody comes into my home to kill my children, it is my duty to defend my children. I don't have to hate them. I don't have to love them. I don't have to do anything like that. Quite frankly, the same people who, the same administration who is saying, well, we should love them, which, by the way, is the same thing as right. saying we can defeat cancer by right. love, is the same administration who's not going to empower their general. They're right. not going to do it. I think they're doing this on purpose, quite frankly.
I think you're right. I think it's part of the, I mean, they're not, non-strategy is their strategy. Dan, I think their non-strategy is their strategy. Judith on Facebook said, where's the love of ISIS for those Christians who are crucified, burning alive, stoning, or putting into slavery? You know, not a lot of love there. So this tells you the nature of what we've got. I'm going to try to grab one more call in here before we take a break. Let's go to Evan's calling from New Jersey. Evan, you're on the air.
Oh, man, thank you so much, Jay, for taking my call.
Sure.
God bless you and
Thanks.
Your team for everything that you're
Thanks.
Doing. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, Jay, I'm trying to figure this out.
Yep.
I woke up this morning. I'm trying to find out, am I on the moon? Am I on
yep.
Mars or Venus? I cannot believe the audacity of the United States Attorney General making a statement like that. Who is she talking to? Is she talking
she was
to
talking
the
to the people in Orlando. So this wasn't no. I'm glad you brought that up, Evan. Let's play it again. This was her speech in Orlando on how we defeat terrorism. Not, you know, how do we take care of those that were injured or killed and their families? How do we defeat terrorism? Listen to exactly what Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States of America, said on the most successful and compelling way we beat terrorism.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion. It's unity, and it's love.
I don't know what else to say, except that's absurd. And the reality is, Jordan, that is unfortunately the mindset of this administration.
Yeah, I mean, you could chuckle about it, but then you realize the seriousness of
yeah,
the problem
exactly.
that this states. And it's a scary time to be in. And you know, thankfully, we do have this presidential election coming up. We can make significant changes. A lot of these individuals won't be around. But what you hope is that someone like Hillary Clinton doesn't continue on this path with these kind of individuals continue if she was the president of the United States.
You're already seeing her pivot in the politics. I mean, because I think they have to pivot. They know that.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, we'll take more of your calls when we come back in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical 5-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have 5 key steps to defeat ISIS. ISIS. One, name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. Two, fix our broken intelligence. Three, ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. Four, declare war on ISIS. And five, unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Coming on Facebook and Periscope, and your comments on the phone as well, 1-800-684-3110. Brandon writes, it would be unloving if we did not destroy ISIS. Deborah on Facebook writes, let's love the world enough to rid it of ISIS. I think those are all very, very effective points. Let's go to Rebecca calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, one of my favorite places of, certainly one of my favorite places in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Good afternoon. Hey. Thank you for all you do.
Thanks.
I'd like to hear what the plan is. If we're going to defeat these folks with love and unity,
yeah.
I'd like to hear the plan, because when Obama looks at an ISIS member, he sees the boy next door.
Yeah, well, the problem is, there is no, I mean, the truth is, and I'll let Jordan and Than address this, but there is no plan. And the general said there is no plan. There is no strategy. Now, Josh Earnest disagrees with that, but the fact is there is no plan. The general that's going to be in charge of AFCOM, African Command, says that, Jordan, period. End of story.
Yeah, and that involves, of course, the ISIS expansion into Libya, which
yep.
I believe is likely a place that they're operating their international work from, because it's a less conflict than in Syria and Iraq. They're always looking for a safe haven where they can plan better, recruit more, and continue communications. Because in Syria and Iraq, yes, we have an air campaign, which, again, the effectiveness can be debated for hours. But it's ultimately, its goal is not to completely defeat ISIS. It may take out communication towers. It may make Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi go on the run. Which there's some reports indicating that he has, but it does not completely dismantle the troops and the recruitment that's going on. So you've got that war raging with a plan of just airstrikes, and then you've got their expansion with no plan at all of how to combat that.
And Than, when we look at the situation, you mentioned, we talked about this on the last segment, that you've got this commander that's, I'm sure, a very honorable guy and has served his country, so... But he's put in a hard. He said he cannot even authorize a strike.
Everything's coming from the top. Everything's coming from the White House, Jay. And here's the truth: you don't really need a plan if the objective is not to crush the enemy. You don't need a plan if you're really content with the way things are. And if your official spokesman is going to say that the world is safer than ever, if the world is safer than ever, then you don't need a plan to change a thing, because everything is going just fine.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. Timothy's calling from Joplin, Missouri. He's on line four. Hi, Timothy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to say that it's very encouraging to see a doctrinally sound leaders with a sound mind that have a voice in our country. And what I'd like to say is I've been all over the Middle East. I've fought in Iraq twice.
Appreciate your service.
I've lived with Muslims. I've worked with them. I fell in love with the Iraqi people.
Yep.
But I do know the extremism of radical Islam.
Right.
And reacting to this in love is like a hunted animal. Reacting to a hunter by walking up and standing in front of the gun.
Yeah, well, I think you're, Timothy, first, again, thanks for your service multiple times here in the war zone, but I think your statement's absolutely correct, and this is the problem, and this is the fundamental problem on all this. And DI on Facebook says, you know, the problem also is terrorists don't want our love, they want power overall, and we're in the way, and we need to destroy them. And I've got a book coming out in the fall that's called Unholy Alliance, Russia, Syria, and Iran. This is not a good situation, and you're seeing some of the ferment of that developing right now. Let's go right back to the phones. Richard's calling from Florida. Hi, Richard.
Hey, hi. Quick question. I don't know who he'll really vote for, but I know that I believe that if Hillary gets into office, are we going to still have the same thing? What exactly is she going to do that's going to make a difference? Do you have anything on that?
Well, we've talked about it some, and Jordan has made this point. I'll get Jordan and Than involved in this, especially the political side of it. But this is where both candidates can't just say we need to destroy ISIS and we need to get rid of radical jihadists. There better be plans and comprehensive plans, because no one's buying. I don't think the American people are going to buy a talking point, Jordan.
No, they're not. I mean, it's going to have to get past just rhetoric of I will do this. How will I do it? And more specifically, what will it take? At least in my estimation now as a nominee for President of the United States, obviously everyone understands things can change between now and what they may be facing come January of 2017. But you could start laying out significant plans as of, let's say I was president in 2 weeks. What would I start doing? What would I change in the military? What would I ask Congress to do? How would I use our resources that we currently have in the region? How would I expand on those resources? What would I be willing to do with whether it's on the battlefields? So we're talking about Syria and Iraq, or the expansion of ISIS. And then, of course, the domestic terror issue as well that's happening inside our own country as well as Europe.
Yep.
How will we better increase our law enforcement abilities and on-the-ground intelligence here in our country to stop ISIS? All of that needs to be explained in significant ways, not 45-minute long speeches. That can highlight pieces of it, but it should come along with real plans. I think that is what's missing here.
From both sides.
Yeah, from both sides. I mean, I expect more from Hillary Clinton right now than I do from the Trump campaign. That's just based off her experience that she's probably already hired these kind of policy people to put it together. Not saying we're going to agree with it. But Donald Trump is now in a time period where he's got to get those people on board, not just people who can write good speeches,
yep,
but who can actually put these into plans that the media then will disseminate. Most people won't
as
have time
policy
to read 20-page white papers, but
right,
they can at least figure out the highlights from what they are planning to do.
So, Fan, what do you think has to happen here? Because that was a great question on what these candidates are talking in sound bites, yeah, rather than in actually putting it out there.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with Jordan that it's probably a bigger hill for Hillary Clinton to climb just because she's tied to this foreign policy, especially the one in Libya we've played sound from. But here's the reality, Jay. We've laid out pretty clearly that the biggest missing piece to winning this effort is a commander-in-chief that is committed to defeating the effort. And frankly, I think both of these candidates have an equal obligation to not just say,
yep,
yes, ISIS is bad, yes, I'm going to defeat them, but to put into specifics how and when. You know, we always hear about what we're going to accomplish in the first 100 days. These candidates should be giving us the plans now. And frankly, an effort to crush ISIS could be 99% done in 100 days.
I completely agree. Pam is calling from New Jersey. Last call of the day. Hey, Pam.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good.
You know, I hear everybody really angry, and I'm really angry, too.
Yep.
But it's almost, I have to tell you, it's so sad.
It is sad.
I am, you know, I was watching Charles Stanley one time, and he was saying, like, how sad this is. And he got an altar call for the sadness, and I broke down because, you know what, it is just so sad that this is what's come to our country.
Well, I cannot think of a more inappropriate response to terrorism then we just win them with love. We'll talk more about it on the broadcast tomorrow. I appreciate you calling in. Hey, folks, we need you to do a couple things for us. Number one, share this information with your friends. You know, we're on broadcast stations around the country each and every day for a full hour. Some stations only carry the first 30 minutes, but you can always get the hour on Facebook or Periscope, SiriusXM. A number of stations are carrying this literally from coast to coast. We're on, like I said, a host of stations, so we encourage you to do that. Also, like our Facebook pages. And if you're interested in our films, we've got ACLJ films that have discussions about this, including one called The Export, which talks about a lot of what we've discussed on this radio broadcast this week. Just go over to ACLJ.org. You can look up our films, and there it is. So, again, a lot of ways for you to engage. Also, like us on Facebook. I think we have crossed 5 million Facebook likes between my page, the ACLJ page, and Jordan's page. I think we are over 5 million followers, so that's a great way to do it. And get our newsletters and our emails. I've got a newsletter, an email going out today on the situation involving ISIS. You saw how that has developed. You saw Gregor Papunic from our office at the UN. So we're not just talking about it on this broadcast, folks. We are engaged in these issues. So again, the great way to do that is go over to ACLJ.org. You can sign the petitions there, but you also can get our emails and newsletters so you know what's going on. Also, follow Jordan on Twitter as well. You can follow me on Twitter also. We'll keep you up to date on a lot of issues that develop. So well over 5 million on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter to keep current. We will talk to you on the broadcast tomorrow. Remember, Thursday, expecting some Supreme Court decisions. We'll keep you posted on that, and hopefully we'll have those analyzed if they do come out. I'm expecting some tomorrow.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.